they make something new? I said, yeah, but, you know, it's like $800. And I think before she finished saying, maybe you should go for the new one, I think I already clicked on buy it now.
Yeah, it's like you, I remember you telling me that. I found two different places online, the cheapest price. Both have free shipping. Yaesu had a $50 rebate, and they took it off the end of June, and now they put it back on until September. HRO and Gigaparts, after the rebate, $739.95.
That's cheaper what I paid. I paid $792, I think.
Two BOR. I see what these 69 FFP4s are going for new. I know what copper is getting for it. I'm not going to let the radio go cheap. It looks like brand new. Like I said, 2 hours on it. I don't even think I'm going to do a bid on it. I'm going to do a set price with shipping, and if somebody buys it, they buy it. But I don't think I'm going to take any less than 600 for it. I don't care if a new one goes for six from copper. The radio is immaculate, and it's already it's been taken care of, if you know what I mean.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Might be able to just put the wording in there, Mars cap.
Yeah, you got to watch out how you word it, because I do have it listed as a 10-meter, 12-meter ham radio. I was just wondering if I really need something more with 2 meters and 440 in it, because I got so many dual-band radios. Just trying to search around for something that's just plain HF.
Well, I cleaned out my storage, so I'm saving myself $180 a month, and I brought all the boxes over here, and I got six containers that I'm going through slowly, and the Turner microphones. I got 11 Turner microphones, two E104s, three 575 M6s, one M1, which was the original version of the, I forget even which one, the Minuteman II. I have two of those, and then the M1. I have three handheld Turners. I think just on Turners alone, I could probably make 500.
You got yourself some nice money sitting there. I hope you got the batteries out of those microphones.
Yeah, I always took the batteries out if I put them in storage. And I even found a package that has the new batteries. So I was making them up with a heat shrink. You know, so I could put them on the table or on eBay and, you know, stay working condition.
Let me tell you, Chris, those 575 M6s bring good money if they're in good condition.
Well, I have two of them. One's in, like, almost new condition. That's wired up to an Emperor. I'm going to sell the Emperor radio with an Emperor matching power supply and that microphone and an 1104C as a package. And I'm going to ask for $600. I'll start at 500 for best offer, probably, and then let it start going to bid.
It's a 575 M6 right now on bid. 14 bids, ends in one day and 19 hours. They got it up to $88 already.
And the one, even though it's slightly used, is the original board. It has the brown board on it, not the green board. And the static emblem still says Ohio on the back. So that's the original version of it.
That's the ones I sold. I think the, what was it, Continent? Or it was CON something was the town. That's how old mine was. Here's one now on eBay. Guy wants $299 for it.
Forget it.
P2BOR. Somebody will buy it. You know my old saying, there's a butt for every seat.
Oh, no, no, I know that, yeah. I even found I have that microphone element from ENY, and I'm going to put it into my Lollipop microphone and sell it already modified, because I know I could probably sell it for $150 easy.
I still have one D-104 left. I did not sell it. I sold the Silver Eagle. I sold the one off of the Cobra 2000. It was immaculate. Even the gray on the bottom did not have any chips in it at all. Both of those, the Silver Eagle was a little newer, but the one from the Cobra 2000 had the brown board in it, and the one I got at home, Chris, I swear it's got to be over 40, 45 years old, an old six-wire with the brown board. What other radios you got left?
Three Courier Gladiators. Two of them are modified, one is stock. One's a 23-channel still. I have a Cobra 148 GTO, a 136 XLR, a 142 XLR. I have two Emperors. I have a 2600, and then two Magnum 257s, a Titan, and a Blackhawk. Those are the same, all the same boards. And then for parts, I have a TS-2000, which is an Albrecht, the same as an RCI 2950.
The 23-channel Gladiator, is that a PLL radio or a crystal radio?
That is a crystal radio.
Yeah. There's some things you can do with that, but the PLL radios are the king.
I also have an Alpha 10 Max, which was the newest one that I bought right before I got back to the amateur radio, which was a 10-meter mobile. And, no, it was good for 10 watts, and very unstable with the cold, so I never used it. That is wired up to a... one of those CR, I forget which version, but it was the second model that they came out with. It's supposed to be the Static 575, but it was made by another company.
Yeah, I know the bike you're talking about. I also, in the shop here, I've got an old 100-watt brick, too. Don't even know if it works. Got it from somebody, never even tried it.
Oh, now if I go into those, get the company. Put it from Red Max. Oh, a Fat Boy 450. And then I have a Texas Star 350 high drive. And then a Phantom 150 modulator. I don't even know if it works.
Those modulators, they were great for driving bigger bricks that needed more drive. Oh, they were great.
I still have, I don't know if you remember, the little 30-watt Cricket, the little 30-watt driver. I still have one of those.
82BOR. Yes, I do remember them.
A 82CWW. I actually used that in my wife's 87 Mercury Cougar. Had a Francis whip on a trunk mount lift with a Cobra 148 GTL, which I have four. I forgot to tell you, I have four of those. And I had the modulator hooked up, and then that went to an old, I don't remember the company. I can't remember. No, but it's just insane choose to drive around and harass people.
Those little 30-watt crickets, they were good. They didn't draw a lot. It was just enough to make the wreak some havoc. I've been going back and forth with this guy on eBay, and I bought these crystal filters for the DR-235, the narrowband filters. I got one, then I ordered two more, never got them. The one I ordered, I put in my radio. Then I ended up finding out we didn't need the narrowband filter. We only needed the wideband filter, so that's the only one I put in Charlie's. But I told this guy, where are my parts? Now he's telling me he's going to give me a refund. I'm just waiting for it. I'll tell you one thing. You look at the charges from eBay. I can't believe some of the stuff I sold, including two things for Steve, the amount that I owe them right now. I got $224.80 in the balance. 55 of that's going to come out when I owe them.
I'm going to take a break and get a quick cup of tea over here.
All right, very good. I'll be here. 82 VOR.
All right, I'll be right back. 82 CWW.
Draft on this thing. I changed some wording, something you came up with before. I changed that and a few other things.
Kid I went to high school with moved into this town just about the same time I was moving, you know, getting ready. He showed up at my door before getting the tour of the house. He's the contractor. High-end contractor over in New York City. Loved the house, and then he walked into my den and he started laughing at me. So he left. I looked at my wife, and she's like, yeah, I know. Gotta make your den. I know. Go get your furniture and shut up.
Tell her you don't know what you want yet.
I know what I want. Just go buy two file cabinets, countertop, cork board, shelving, you know, my own desk up. Speaking of desks, KD2CTC, did he ever send you that picture of the desk that he had?
Yes, he did. I was thinking about it for Debbie's little father's little Ben, but I had her take a look at it. She said no, she didn't want it. I forgot to get back to him. I got to pull up the old email and tell him thanks for sending it, but I can't use it.
He's a good guy. I've known him for quite a few years now. No. From the 11-meter days, I've known him.
I don't know too many people from my 11-meter days. I think they're all gone. I know one guy that hangs on Channel 11, Crazy Cat. I know, I gotta know him for 40 years at least. I'm gonna go get another cup of coffee and stop at my apartment. I'm gonna go get that stuff. I'm gonna set it up here and come back later with the digital camera and take some pictures of some things. So I'll catch you from the mobile. KD2, be aware.
Alright, no problem. I'll be here. 82 CWW.
82 VOR mobile.
Still here. 82 CWW.
82 VOR. Good morning. Are you there, Rock? Hey, good morning, Don. Just got back in the shop. Went to go pick up some stuff at my house that I'm going to sell, and went for another cup of joe. How you doing?
Okay. I'm doing some work for my future mobile installation, going through the firewall in this Jeep, similar to what I did on my last Jeep. I got the corrugated black tubing to run the power cord through from the battery, then through the firewall, and got the red and black wires right through this black corrugated tubing, and just wondering what kind of terminals to put on the battery end that run into the fuses. I didn't open up my hood yet and look at the battery terminals yet. I have 12 gauge wire, and I'm going to crimp on or maybe solder on some terminals that will go on to the battery screws. I'm just wondering what size those battery tightening screws are.
82 BOR Friday. My truck is 10 millimeter. If anything else, you got the same battery in your truck as mine, if you remember. They're either 10 millimeter or 13 millimeter, and that's...
Okay, very good. Yeah, I have 10 feet of this corrugated tubing. I doubt if I'll use all 10 feet of it.
Yeah, I ran mine in through a grommet where the master harness goes through the firewall. I made a small hole in the master harness. There's a very, very big grommet. Nothing in the way. I made a small hole there and ran my two heavy leads in to the car, and then I had to make the hole a little bigger because I ran two heavy leads in going to my glove box where I've got the brick.
Oh, okay, you have it going into the... Man, I have this little cough. I never had it before. I must have some kind of an allergy, something. It usually happens, gets this little cough in the... in nighttime or so. Sometimes all day I don't have it, but I never had allergies like this before. Okay, I was thinking of running this to the other side of the firewall. I was going to run. Here comes the crab disease again. Run into a power block.
Whatever works for you, how you're going to set it up, you know. Sausage is owned, you know that.
Yeah, that's true. I have running 12 gauge wire. I could have run 10, but that would have been, I would have had to order a Aldo harness. 12 should do it. I'm not going to be running over 100 watts at any time.
Nah, that's plenty. The run is not going to be that long that you're going to lose anything. That's fine. Yeah, when I hooked my terminals up, the wires up to my battery, I actually put a little flux inside of them before I crimped them, and then I soldered them also at the same time.
Right. I was thinking of doing that also, but the lugs I'm going to put on the wires, they have plastic around it, but I could put a few drops of... solder. I could sweat solder it right where the wire protrudes into the end of the connector.
I took the plastic off my connectors and then crimped them and soldered them. And then I coated them with some battery terminal protector and keeps everything nice.
How well does that battery protector work? I guess it's like a gel.
I have a spray-on one. I buy two products from Napa. They sell this battery terminal cleaner that eats the acid away. And then they have, when you got everything nice and cleaned up and put a new battery in, you spray this red protectant on it and it dries.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look into that next time I run to the Napa store.
82BOR. You don't need the big pan that they sell. If you find one of these auto stores, you look for Permatex battery protectant. It's in a spray can, and it's like a 3 or 4 ounce can. Napa's cans are kind of large for your needs, but if you find one of the stores that carry Permatex, they make a nice small can.
Okay. I would probably use just, I guess, a couple of ounces out of that can.
Believe me, that spray goes a long way.
I'm just wondering how long the aerosol would affect in the can. It'd be in the can, like I could spray it, then use the can 2 years later, and it might not have enough pressure.
Well, the can of stuff's not that expensive, so I don't think you have to really worry about it. You're not spending $30, $40 on it, that's for sure.
I just thought that I could use it on my daughter's car also. My ex works at a Toyota dealership, and next year my daughter's going to buy a used Toyota, and she's going to get a nice break on it.
Yeah, very good. All right, Don, I'm going to run out to my truck. I brought a radio, a microphone, and another microphone and stuff. I want to get it in here. And then I'm going to come back down later on. I got to go get Debbie's digital camera and take some pictures.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I just took a 3-hour nap, so I'll be up for a while. Talk to you later. KD2BOR, WA2ZOZ.
KD2VOR.
Had a link into the gas, the fuel system, and correct the problem.
Did you say to correct a problem?
Yeah, the ambulance was down there trying to fuel up, couldn't fuel up, so Lincoln correct the problem. Give the fuel up and go on his way.
I guess that system tells the town what department used what fuel and all that.
Yeah, the vehicle has a special fob, and each person that drives that vehicle has a code that they have to put in.
I imagine there's a camera shining on that pump too, right?
Yes, there is.
I kind of figured that. Nobody can steal fuel.
Well, 17 years ago when I put the first system in, fuel consumption went down 33% the first week.
I could imagine. That's always been a problem. Theft of fuel in any state, local, or whatever.
Best part is a guy on midnight, an officer, was sitting there for 25 minutes throwing codes in it, trying to get it to work without his code. so the following day I made a printout of it and ran into him. I said, "There, look at this new system, blah blah blah." So, you know, I said, then this guy tries to fuel up with somebody else's code 25 minutes, 132 combinations. Can you believe that? And I handed it to him and I looked at him. I said, "That's the only copy." And I walked away from him. Nobody else ever tried that again.
That was nice of you. I guess you just sent the warning.
Yeah. It was spread very quickly. Don't do it.
What a way to lose your job if you had. Unbelievable. I know gas is fuel and gas is expensive, but is it worth your career?
Watching a show on TV about Coney Island.
I like shows like that. We had a show on many years ago, and I also looked at a book. We had a park in Irvington years ago called Olympic Park, and it got closed down in the 60s because of the riprap, but the thing was it was there for years. Had an Olympic-sized swimming pool in it. Actually, where I learned how to swim when I was in CYO day camp when I was very young.
My wife wanted to drive out to Coney Island today to go to the hot dog eating contest. I said, "Forget it. I did that many years ago. It's a madhouse."
I tell you, watching those guys is disgusting when you think about it. I listed my stuff right now. I gotta come back and take pictures later.
Okay, 82 CWW. Yeah, I think I'm just gonna do all mine at a table at a ham fest.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning, how are you?
Okay, just looking deep into my HRO catalog here. Looking at the rig runner power distribution panels.
And what are you going to use that for?
I have two power sources in my mobile. One power source I have now is a battery in the back luggage compartment of my Jeep. And I recharge the battery and run cables up into the front. No way of charging the battery while the vehicle is moving. So now I'm just going to hook up to the battery under the hood, and I'll have a choice of two power sources.
So you're going to do like a battery isolator system?
I was talking to Rocky about that. That's something I may do in the future.
I just got a couple of my Jeeps. They just got a standard Ford tractor solenoid. When the ignition was on and running, it would charge the back battery. When you shut it off, the ignition solenoid would then shut off and then isolate that battery.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I have a little Jeep Compass. So kind of like a top of the line little Compass. I don't know how much I want to put in and take it apart. I guess it's like Rocky and his truck. He just doesn't have the heart to drill holes and do a lot of work in it.
Yeah, I find that if you go into any Napa or better of the auto supply shop to work in New Asbury. Ford solenoid. They'll know what you're talking about and they'll give it to you. One thing that's nice about them is because it grounds direct chassis ground on the solenoid unit. You tend to have less noise drifting through the system.
Right, I'm going to get a Napa battery. Let's handle a little more current and voltage. And Rocky checked up to see what kind of an alternator I had. And if this upgraded battery would charge okay, and my Jeep has this alternator that could handle it. And it's 2012, and maybe another 6 months to a year I'm going to go see Rocky and have a Napa battery put in, handle some more ramps.
Yeah, I have an older Jeep, 2001 Jeep Cherokee. I now have a 160 amp, which is actually 160 amp cold idle. This means quite a bit. Alternator, and then I upgraded my fusible links. I now have upgraded fusible links. Most of my lights are now on. I have them on relays so that I run low voltage through them, and then I have eight gauge wire controlling, you know, the brake lights, turn lights, signals, and all that. Because I was planning on putting a high power system, it never did.
Okay. 2012, I sold my 2004 Jeep Liberty. Got 38,000 miles on it. Really a great little vehicle. Didn't have any problems with it at all. Except, let's see, there was something with the sunroof. The sliding bar assemblies on one side split, and the speakers all vibrated. They all got loose somehow, and I'm not into all that heavy rock music with the boom boom high bass. So I don't know what happened there. I guess they just worked themselves loose, and that's about all the trouble I had with it. Over to you, Rock. WA2ZOZ.
82BOR. I'll get back to you guys in a little bit. I'm here getting stuff ready.
Okay, I'm going to run into the kitchen. I'll be back in about 5 or 10 minutes.
All right, no problem with that.
Okay, Chris, see you in a few. Actually, I'm going to pour myself another wee little glass of McGregor Scotch. Be right back.
You don't have to go to work tomorrow. Enjoy.
WA2ZOZ is back.
Very good. Yeah, I'm trying to find a vacuum leak. My Jeep, I've been going at it for about a week now. I'm ready to bring it down to Rocky, and he's got the equipment to do it.
Vacuum leak. Are the hoses fairly new?
No, it's a 2001. But I cannot locate the problem, and I know that Rocky has a system that will smoke the vacuum lines out. And it's driving me nuts.
Yeah, that will do it. I know
I hated electrical problems when I did a lot of work on my own vehicles. Is there a braking station in there? No, I guess not. Well, I ran down the power distribution panel. I'm going to get cost $80 from HRO, and the nomenclature number is Rig Runner 404U. 40 amps, 4 outlets, 2 USB ports, 4 amp charge, and 6 pairs of 30 amp power poles. So, I guess if, when my daughter borrows the Jeep, every now and then she does that, she'll have 2 USB ports that she could charge up her computer and other digital devices.
And it's in the HRO? Because I'm always looking for something for extra power, you know, plug in my cell phones and stuff like that.
Well, this one has 2 USB ports, so you can do all that. Charge up your cell phone, your iPhone, etc. And you can look it up on the net. It's Rig Runner 404U. And I'm going to be running 12-gauge red and black zip cord from the battery under the hood. And that should do it. And they have a whole lot of other power distribution panels here. They really can get pretty elaborate. But the one I want is about $80. And I can throw it right onto the dash. They also have 24-volt versions and 48-volt versions for large trucks and other large vehicles.
The Rig Runner 404U?
Oh, it's a Rig Runner. Rig Runner 404U. Yeah, 4004U, I'm sorry. 4004U.
I thought you said Ridge. Okay.
I did. I probably did.
Humid out here and cruddy.
You got that right, same in Norwood. Charlie's okay, haven't heard him tonight. Or this morning, brother.
You're not gonna hear him till Monday morning, he's off.
Oh, I guess he has a long 4th of July weekend.
Well, you remember getting this day off when you worked, didn't you?
I usually went into work anyway.
There's dedication. Oh, my God.
No, there was extra bucks.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Daughter's tuition almost paid off. In fact, I'll let her pay the rest of it off.
That's very humble of you.
Do you know how much I paid? Let me see what else is new here. Let's see. I bought a K&N air filter for the Jeep. Maybe I'll put that in today.
Ah, wait a minute. Now, wait, Don. I don't want to see you overexert yourself now. It's very humid out there.
Yeah, I'll find a nice shady oak tree or something here on the apartment grounds, and hell, it shouldn't take more than 15 minutes.
I never bought any of those things. I guess when you first buy them, they come all pre-oiled up and everything, right?
I guess. I don't know what pre-oiled is, but you can put it in your vehicle, and then you don't have to clean it till about 50,000 miles, rather than the regular air filters. What is it, every 10,000 miles, you throw it out and buy another one.
82 BOR. Yeah, they make a recharger kit for them, if I'm not mistaken. They're washable, and they sell this kit for washing it, and then you recharge them. They were got like a, it seems to me like it's the old days with an oil bath filter.
Yes. I know they, after 50,000 miles, they sell this kit. You can clean it. I don't know how much the kit costs, but you're supposed to, the airflow is supposed to be superior and get a few more horsepower out of it.
Yeah, like I said, I've never bought them. Looks like we got a little bit of a band opening on, got some stuff coming through on Louis' repeater.
You mean JBG, Johnny Be Good?
Oh, all of a sudden I got a noise level on 223-880, and I don't know where it's coming from, and I forget how to adjust the squelch on this radio.
Oh, okay. Louis, the trustee of the 220 megahertz repeater. Yeah, I haven't heard Uncle Lou on for a while. I gave him, what is it, WB2JBG. I came up with WB2Johnny Be Good with that one. What the hell, I guess be a little strange. Over to you, Chris, WA2ZOZ.
82CWW. Yes, you are correct. They come pre-oiled, and I've used the K&N air filters for many years on multiple different vehicles. The recharge kit, they sell them like Pep Boys and AutoZone and all that, about $7, $10. And believe it or not, my wife gets annoyed with me. When I go to clean my air filters now, I use a different type, but I used to spray it with the dissolver, and I used to put it in the dishwasher and wash it real good and then re-oil it later.
Never do that, Rock.
No, I've never bought a K&N. I usually take my air filter out and throw it in the garbage and buy a new one.
Okay, I didn't know maybe with the standard air cleaner you could do something similar. I'm not sure. I can just do some basic things with mechanics on a vehicle.
I always stay on top of fuel filters, and I stay on top of air filters. Except my new truck has no external fuel filter. It's built into the tank on a lot of the, like a lot of these cars today. The worst thing you can do is have a electric fuel pump running with a lot of restriction from a clogged filter. It raises up the amperage draw and does a number on the pump. But my air filter, I've got 33,000 on my truck. I've changed it three times already.
Well, you're the man that knows, especially for working with vehicles so many years and educating yourself on it.
You know, it's like people that neglect their oil changes. The cheapest thing you can do to a vehicle is change your darn oil. It's like running your body and making sure that your cholesterol's not high. I just can't believe how cheap some people are.
Let me see if I have it. When I ran conventional motor oils, like Castrol, conventional motor oil is one I used a lot, I changed it every 3,000 miles like clockwork. And my vehicles never burnt any oil.
Then Mobile 1 came out. I ran it every 7,500 miles. Changed the oil and filter. And then after that, I went with the AMSOIL synthetic. They claim you can run it for 25,000 miles. I think it was, but just changed the filter halfway through. But I would never do it. I'd never go 25,000 miles, even though AMSOIL says you can. I go maybe 8,000, change the oil in the filter.
82 BOR. I use DAPA's brand synthetic in mine. It's Dexos. The 530 oil is Dexos approved for the newer GM cars. And I change my oil when the spirit moves me. I've gone, this time I went a little over 3,000. Sometimes I'll change it with 2,000. When I got a slow day, it doesn't bother me. You know, I do it myself. And the most, even using synthetic, the most I'll let my oil go is 3,000, and I don't do that very often.
I guess your engines are super clean. I had a question for you, and of course, being 66 years old and a lot on my mind here, I forgot what I was going to say. Over to you, Chris.
I very religious with oil myself and fluids. I picked up my wife a few years back a 1999 Grand Cherokee Limited that had 106,000 miles on the V8 and a 360 in it. I flushed the engine, put synthetic in it. I ran that to 256,000 miles before the rear main seal started leaking and I got rid of it.
I don't know if I heard you right. I think you said 256,000. Is that an oil change?
No, I change the oil every 5,000 miles with synthetic, but that motor lasted for 256,000 miles before it started having a rear main seal leak, and that's when I traded it in for her 2011 Chevrolet Traverse. So I am a firm believer you need to change your fluids. People don't do it enough.
That's a fact. Let me show you if I have it. Okay, you're also making sure no one's trying to break in. Okay, maybe I better clean the wax out of my ears. When I first went over to synthetic oil on my 72 Plymouth Duster, I started to notice oil leaks, and I thought it was because the oil is so fine, it just drips down through the cylinders, like back into the oil pan, and then leaking through the seals somehow. And not that long ago, I realized that the synthetic oil is so superior that it drains right through the gaskets, and that's why I had so many oil leaks. Like in the parking lot, I looked and I said, "Holy Christ, I'm leaking oil here," and I thought it was something to do with the oil just working its way down through the cylinders, etc., and onto the ground. And not that long ago, I realized that the oil is so superior and thin it runs through the seals and gaskets. In other words, if I changed the gaskets, whatever, then everything would be fine. That sound familiar, Rock?
I've heard a lot of cars leaking oil, especially back in them days, but 82 BOR anyway for ID. My brother had it, a 1976 Chevy Nova, and at the time I left the dealership and was working for an Arco gas station. So they had this oil back then called graphite oil, you put the engine oil in, you think you never change it. It was black. But when my brother put that Arco graphite oil into that Chevy Nova with the straight six and integrated head, he started developing oil leaks. Unbelievable. He changed the oil a couple times, and the oil leak stopped. That was the worst oil that I have ever seen made on the market in my career.
I heard something about that oil a long time ago, then all of a sudden I never heard anything else about that oil again. There's some other oil out now, it's called Blue something or whatever. I think they have it for marine engines, automobile engines, Blue something or whatever.
We'd be talking about Royal Purple.
That's it. That's the stuff.
I never used it, but when I watch those car shows on Sunday morning, Extreme 4x4 and Horsepower TV and all that, Royal Purple does a lot of advertising. They do all the fluids. Your gear oils, your trans fluids, they do power steering fluid, I think. They do everything. But back to what Chris was saying, I got 33,000 miles on mine. The only fluids I have changed is my oil. When my truck hits 50,000, every single fluid will get changed. Transfer case, drive axles, brake fluid, coolant, power steering flush. I do the whole thing.
Well, I guess that's the way you keep a vehicle for a long time. And save a few bucks. Uncle Lou, he was talking about a new Castrol oil that came out. I don't know, it's not exclusive, or Edge, is that it? Castrol Edge or something like that?
I've heard of it. Who said you had Kraft disease? You got that right. Let's see if Chris is still in there. Over to you, Chris, 82 BOR.
Yeah, I'm still in here. I use Castrol oil. I guess from my older racing days, or hanging out with my friends and my cousins that all use Castrol in their race engines. And I actually use the Castrol high mileage synthetic in my Jeep now. And I use the high mileage because cylinder and the valve trains are very temperamental, so that's why I do it. That Royal Purple, I have mixed reviews on it. They always say how it works so much better and this and that. Well, I put that Royal Purple synthetic gear oil in the rear end of my Jeep, and, you know, my transaxles, and I started having problems with them. And I pulled them apart. I had to rebuild my rear. My front axle, I just flushed out and then put the conventional fluids back into it. I didn't find anything I liked about it.
Be back in a sec. Gotta make a pit stop.
Yeah, I'll be listening also. I got to weigh this Ranger radio and see how much it's going to cost to ship it. 82, be aware.
All right. I'll be here.
Chris, what kind of products do you use in your vehicles on the job?
It depends upon what I'm using. For my backhoe, I use John Deere products. I use the Elgin products because they can, if I do have problems with them, they could analyze the oil and know that I'm not using their oil and it can void their warranties. But for the diesels, I usually use the Polo, and even for the gas version, try and get the with Polo. It's not the best, but it gives a performance guarantee.
Yeah, that makes sense. You use something, even something superior, and they find out that you're not using what they recommend, then it blows the hell out of the warranty. That makes sense. How you making out with that kid with the blasting the rock music?
They don't turn their music up anymore.
And you got no sarcasm or anything after you confronted them?
No. Boyfriend of the girl must have said something to my buddy, so who was behind me. And I believe the term that he used is, I wouldn't screw with him, he's a lunatic.
I'm sorry, Chris. Run that by one more time about don't screw with him, he's a lunatic.
The guy who lives behind me, I'm friends with. His daughter and my daughter were both in preschool together, so talking, I've known him 14 plus years. And the older daughter's boyfriend is the one that gave me the attitude. He must have said something to my friend Joe, the father. The father said, yeah, I wouldn't mess with him because he's a lunatic.
different ways of confronting problems that work out. Like on the A-Team, what does Hannibal Smith always say? I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we moved into this house Good Friday. There's a kid that lives about two blocks away that cuts through, and he takes the corner over here pretty quick, and he, you know, he drives like a nut. And a few of the neighbors have complained to me about it. So I was behind him coming home, and he went blasting through here, and he pulled into his driveway, and I pulled in right behind him. Got out, and I walked up, and I introduced myself, and he's like looking at me like, you know, what's going on? And I said, for now on, when you pass my house, you're going to drive slow, right? And he looked at me, he's like, what? I said, from now on, when you pass my house, I understand that I just moved in, and you really don't know me yet, and you don't want to get to know me, but you're going to drive slow, right? And tested me one time, and I followed him and pulled in his driver and just stared at him, shaking my head, you know, and backed out. But now he drives slow, and I don't know why.
Maybe someone said to him, watch out, this guy's a lunatic.
Not only that, you know, like on weekends, there's always, you know, if I'm walking around the house, there's always a different cop, you know, hanging out, pulled up in the driveway talking to me while I'm working on my Jeep or working around the yard, you know. So, you know, and it's not just local town, you know, sheriff's department. Last Sunday, I had two state trooper vehicles parked over here, so I think they're starting to understand, you know, that I know people.
WA206. I, police officers, I always got along fairly well with the cops. Every now and then you'd get a brand new guy that was sassy, like he was the judge and jury. But the more refined police officers, we always got along pretty well, because they were amazed when they listened to Skip coming in on their police radios, and they wanted to know why, and they developed interests in communications. And myself, being a ham radio operator since I was 13, getting that knowledge, going through all the...